I stand before you today to teach, preach, or say the word of God. But before we get started, we must all give him glory, honor, and praise. I thank my Lord, Jesus Christ. I thank the Almighty God for just allowing me to be here today. I thank him for allowing the congregation, friends, family, and members to be here. And part of my speech was my wife as well, but she couldn't make it. We must go on. So, Lord, thank you very much for us being here. And thank you for the pastor of this great church, which gave me this assignment a month ago. And just, Lord, just thank you for just being an almighty God. Amen. Tonight's scripture is going to come from Luke chapter 19. And I'm trying not to steal Mr. Warren's thunder. Because from my understanding, he is going to teach us on Acts and Luke. And there's some history behind how I came about this particular chapter. Luke chapter 19, verse 1 through 10. And it reads as follows. As Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, verse 2, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Verse 3, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press. Press means the crowd. Because he was little, small in stature. Verse 4, and he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, Jesus. For he was to pass that way. Verse 5. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Verse 6. And he made haste and came down and receive him joyfully. Verse 7. And when they saw it, they all murmured. The Pharisees. They all murmured, the Pharisees, saying that he was going to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. Judgmental. 8. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. Blessed be the man that gives to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. The book of the law. Verse 9, and Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. For as much as he also is a son of Abraham, a believer, faith. For the Son of Man, verse 10, excuse me, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost, a lost sheep, a lost sheep. Amen. Glory to God. If you don't mind, let me pray over this for a minute, please, and let the Lord enter my spirit. and not me being in the presence, that you may see the Lord instead of me. Heavenly Father, once again, I just come to say thank you, dear Lord. Thank you for your mercy and thank you for your grace. Hide me behind your cross. Cover me with your blood. Give me the word that you have given me in the past, dear Lord. If there is something else that you want me to say, keep my words and keep my tongue holy and respectable to you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And for a title, I had so many titles. But for a title, I would like to say a divine appointment. A divine appointment. A divine appointment of love and mercy. A divine appointment of love and mercy. Luke chapter 19 starts off with a familiar scene, a familiar region, Jericho. It starts off in that region because Jesus has traveled, is either coming in or going out of Jericho. And let me give you a brief history of Jericho. I'm pretty sure some of you have known it since childhood, that Joshua and the children of Israel conquered, with the help of God, conquered Jericho. A little bit more information on Jericho. Jericho was in a region, it was hot. It was really hot. It was more like a tropical area. It was large in palm trees, sycamore trees, banana trees, date trees, things of that nature. It was fruitful. It was very fruitful. And when Joshua came into the land and the children of Israel conquered Jericho, remember what they had to do to conquer Jericho. They had to march around the city one time, then return to camp. Then on the seventh day, they had to march it around several times. And then they had to shout, and then the walls came down. I'm paraphrasing. I am paraphrasing. But if you really look at it, once the wall came down and Jericho were conquered, Joshua, some people say Joshua cursed the city. He did not curse the city. He cursed any man that would build up the walls of Jericho. He cursed any person that would build up the walls of Jericho. Understand? References are, Joshua 2:1, chapter 2, verse 1. Reference to Joshua 6, chapter 6 and 26. And if you want to see the results of what Joshua accursed, look at 1 Kings 16 and 24. 1 Kings 16 and 24. Now, like I said, the city was a wonderful oasis. It was full of palm trees and things of that nature. So I'm setting the scene for what Jesus is walking through, into, and from on the road to Jericho. Because most of the road going to Jericho, it was lined up with these type of trees. And you have to remember, the lost sheep that he's trying to save, he is short in stature. He is short in stature. But the thing about him being short in stature is that he climbed up a tree just to get a glimpse of the Lord. But before I go any further, let me give you a little bit of history on Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a publican. If you see in verse Let me see where we are. Where we are, 19. If we see in verse 2, he was a chief among the publicans. That means he was a tax collector. Today he will be your IRS collector. He will be your IRS collector. But people in that region and during that time, they looked on tax collectors, they're judging, that all of them are crooked. And they gained their wealth by overtaxing or over, let's say, extortion, gathering more money than they were required. That's how they made their money. But this particular chief, he was the head of all the tax collectors. This particular one sought Jesus. The words say that Zacchaeus was a sinner. He cheated people. Me personally, I had a problem with that, but I had to look into it a little bit deeper because people are judging him according to his occupation. And we should not judge people by their occupation, race, color, creed, or whatever, or whoever they sit down and eat with. You should not judge anyone. Because the Lord is trying to save us all. Those that are lost, he is looking for us. He is seeking us out. He wants to come in and have meat with you. He wants to sit at your table. But some of the people in the region, they looked at Jesus as someone that actually they want to call him a sinner. They called him a gluttonous. Called him a drunkard. And that's in the word. That's how they looked at Jesus, because he sat with sinners. He sat around with them. He ate with them. He talked to them. But at the same time that he was talking, he was teaching. He was always teaching. When you walk up and down the road, on that Jericho road, just remember, he was pressed. The crowd was around him. They were lost sheep. They have nowhere else to go. They wanted to go to the synagogue, but the Pharisees and the Sadducees said no, because they were sinners. You can come in. All of the rites, all the rituals, all the rites, the offerings, burnt offerings, all of those meant nothing if it didn't come from the heart with God. And that's what Jesus was trying to tell them. Take care of my people with love and obedience. Take care of my people with love and obedience. Do not let your heart be hardened by just looking at a person saying that this person is a sinner, because we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we must all take in sinners in some kind of way. And what's the best way for Jesus to talk to a sinner? What's the best way for him to get the sinner to come in and talk to him? Zacchaeus, make haste, come down in a sycamore tree. And I said, why a sycamore tree? But if you realize what I just told you a few minutes ago, it was plentiful during that region. A sycamore tree, it was plentiful. It was a form of a fruit tree, which is of the family of the mulberry tree. So during that area, everything was fruitful. The harvest was ripe for picking. And Zacchaeus is in the tree, and Jesus is going to pull him down and say, come, make haste, I'm going to your house. So Zacchaeus came down, and he made haste, and he had Jesus over to his house. And remember now, he was joyful because everybody else didn't like him. No one likes tax collector. Who likes the IRS? Anybody like the IRS? IRS, I'm sorry. Who likes to pay taxes? No one. I know I don't. I'm tired of them, really. But I have nothing against them, because Because we are supposed to pay according to what the law says. If they say pay 28%, okay, it's the law, I'm going to pay 28%. Some people pay 28%, some people pay 15%. But remember, Zacchaeus was a tax collector, and he was frowned upon about everyone. And if you go to, excuse me, I'm going to go to, let me see. No, I'm not. I'm going to stay right here. I'm going to stay on verse 5. Okay, let's go with verse 5. And when Jesus came to a place, he looked up and saw Zacchaeus. He saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at your house. If Jesus came up to you, how many times, excuse me, let me change that. How many times have the Lord called you and said, I want to stay at your house? Or how many times has a Christian came to you and said, hey, come and hear the word of God, and we go off and we do something else? No, I don't have time. I got to do something else. How many times have we done that? There are a lot of people out there. I was one at one time. Back in 1973. 74, 75 time frame. Someone came up to me and said, hey, Cornelius, come here. I want to tell you about Jesus. I said, man, I ain't got time. I'm already in the church. So then I don't need to hear what you got to say. That's the way I did it. That's what I told Sergeant Knight there. I said, I don't have time. But the Lord left me here some 20 to 30 years later, and I'm still standing. Because he's seen something good in me. And I'm just using that as an example for everybody else. The Lord sees good in all of us. Regardless of what you are going through, if you're going through trials, tribulation, or whatever, just keep kicking. And say, Lord, thank you. Because what he's trying to do, tribulation builds what? Perseverance. And perseverance builds character. And character builds hope. Now, Paul said that. So we must stay with the Lord at all times, regardless of what we go through. Give an example. Job, for an example. This is how I came about this particular scripture. Job, the first chapter and the third chapter. First, second, and third chapter. This is how I came about coming to this point. Job, the first, second, and third chapter. Job went through three tests. In chapter one, listen to this now. Listen to this. I did not know that there was a committee in heaven sitting there. I did not know that. There's a committee in heaven sitting there. And then all of a sudden the enemy comes in out of nowhere and he takes over. You know who I'm talking about, the enemy is, right? He comes in and he takes over. And he asked the Lord, and you need to read the chapter, because when I read it, well, I'm going to tell you something. There are some things in there you're not going to believe. When he came in, the Lord gave up Job. The Lord gave up Job. He said, have you tried my servant Job? He said, you know, Satan said, you know I can't touch me. He got a hedge around him. So when we're going through trials and tribulations, don't worry about it. God is still in control. But God allowed things to happen in our life just to prove to Satan that, hey, you know, we are his. And there's nothing that you can do to my people unless I allow it. But this is the kicker in chapter 1. Job said to the Lord, well, you know I can't touch him. And I'm paraphrasing. You have a hedge around him. If you take that hedge around him, he will curse you to your face. Okay, Satan, I'm going to take my hedge around him, but this is stipulation. This is what you can do. You can't do this. You can't do this. You can't harm him. You can't touch his life. You can't do this. You can do everything else. But Satan told, if you look in there, and I want you to read this. Satan said, God, if you take it, no, Jesus, excuse me, the Lord said, Almighty God said, no, you do it. Read it. and see how slick he is
and how he try to get us to do things that we are not supposed to do.
You have to watch him. He's really slick. And I said, wow, that's awesome. He was trying to set the Lord up. He was trying to set God up to take everything from Job. And God said, no, you do it. That means it's time for me to stop. So, what I'm trying to get to you is this. The Lord allowed things to happen in our life for us to get to know him. For us to get to know him. Job, and even though I'm in Luke, the Lord allowed things to happen so he can make an appointment with us so we can get to know him. God wants us to have an intimate relationship with him. How do I know that? If you read some certain scripture, it'll tell you. Here's a kicker about the intimate relationship. Paul said in Philippians 3:3-10. We can turn there if you want to. If you want to, but I am going to paraphrase. Turn to Philippians 3:10. You know what? I'm going to turn there too, because it is so amazing the love that some people have for God and how they want to get to know him. And this was one of the scriptures that I was going to choose for tonight. But then something said, no, I don't want you to stay there. I want you to go somewhere else. Philippians 3:10. Are you there? And I put it like this. Oh, that I may know him. Oh, that I may know him. God forgive me. But want me to tell you something? To me, if that were me, I would have said, oh, that I may know him. In the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. That's the way I would have wrote it. But the word doesn't say that. The word says it like this. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering being made. Comfortable unto his death. Oh, that I may know him. Lord, can I have a intimate relationship with you? Can I have fellowship with you? I want to sit down with you and fellowship while you're suffering. Our hearts beating at the same time. I'm feeling what you're feeling. I'm learning what you're learning. I want to be there. I want to be your right-hand man. I want to be there to go through what you're going through so we can talk about this together. Oh, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection. Ladies and gentlemen, that is a deep and passionate scripture. Paul is giving his all that he may know him. And who is him? Jesus Christ. So, that is what Jesus is trying to do with the people. He is trying to get them to know God on that type of level, on an intimate relationship level. He wants people to believe in him, that he is the resurrection. And he wants you to get to know him as a farmer type of metaphor, a farmer type of metaphor, that he is the shepherd and you are the sheep. And if I have a hundred sheep and one is lost, he is willing to leave the 99 in the pasture and go after that one. That is what the Lord is saying. That's how valuable you are to him. God loves us all. And you have people, some people, drug addiction, alcohol, child abuse, kids talking back to parents. All of this going on today. All of it's going on today. And God is trying to
bring them back. And he can't do it alone unless you have an appointment with him. Unless he set an appointment. If you allow yourself not to have an appointment with God, then you're doing yourself a disservice. You either go on to eternal death or eternal life. And that's the bottom line. That's the truth. And that is why he went after the 99. He put him on his shoulder. And he was, that sheep, he was so joyful that he brought the one back. Isn't that amazing? That is so amazing. God teach us in more like a metaphor type, farmer's metaphor, agriculture metaphor, that where it would be simple for us to understand the word of God. Isn't that amazing? How he deal with us on a daily basis, talking to us. If we will only sit down and just listen. And in order for you to listen, you got to have a quiet area and a quiet spirit. Today, the reason why people cannot hear God, because they're not listening. He's talking, but no one is listening. Job says something like this. When he went through some of the things that he went through, 40-some chapters, that's a long time for Satan to be riding him. 40-some chapters, I'm saying, man, whoa. Think about it. Think about it. 40-some chapters, what the enemy is trying to do to you today, and no one can see it. Sometimes we should not hate the person that's doing these wicked things. We should hate the problems that they cause or what they do. And we should pray for them. We should pray for them at all times for a speedy recovery. Because sometimes they can drive you out. And if we allow them to drive us wild, then we'll end up doing something. We'll become like a sinful nature person. Because we're supposed to be walking in the steps of Christ. Now, Job, this is what Job said. Once Job went through a whole lot of things that he had gone through, and, you know, his friends started talking to him, his wife told him, go ahead and curse Job, and go ahead and curse God and die. Job said, you talk like a fool. Go ahead and curse God and die. No, Ladies and gentlemen, sometimes it is not God that's causing the problem. It is the enemy trying to get you to go against what God has set up for you. Because God has so many blessings laid up for us. Malachi, you know the scripture. Chapter 3. He has so many blessings. His window is ready to pour out blessings. And there's not enough room for you to receive it. And if he pour out a blessing for you, just remember the weak, the sick, the poor, the needy. Just remember them. When God pour you out a blessing, don't hog it all up. Give it back and you will receive more blessings. That's why he give us things. But back to what Job got to know it. Now, Job said in Job chapter 45 and 5, it says, because Job really didn't know it, he said, my ears had heard of you. That means he really didn't know him, right? He really didn't know him. But now my eyes have seen you. Isn't that amazing? I have to close this out. Even though Job had everything taken away from him, God gave it all back and some. God gave it all back and some. And just remember, the Lord is always with you. But I'm trying to get you to see the enemy is a sinner. God is the one that does good. So don't hate the sinner, hate the sin that they're doing. Try to correct them if you can. Okay, and then I am going to close. No, I got 30 minutes. Sorry about that. No, I am going to close. Let me go through each one of the scriptures and give you some of the reference and stuff. Verse 6, and he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Verse 7, and when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he has gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And if you cross-reference this to Matthew chapter 9, cross-reference to Matthew chapter 9. Let's go to Matthew chapter 9, verse 11. Did I not tell you it was the Pharisees? And it states, and when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? Verse 12, but when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Now this is the kicker. Now this is what you should be researching right here. Verse 13. And we're going to go there. Verse 13 said, but go ye and learn what that meant. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repent. What is he actually saying there? Ladies and gentlemen, he is saying that it is better to be obedient than to sacrifice. Isn't that the same thing that Saul went through when the kingdom was ripped from him? It is better to be obedient than to sacrifice. You need to read the word. God is satisfied with your obedience and your love for him. What's your motive behind your sacrifice? If you're just coming up offering a sacrifice, It is nothing. It doesn't mean anything to him. If you don't have no love in it, if you don't have no trust in it, if you don't believe in it, what is your motive for giving up for your sacrifice, your bull offering? Good thing we don't have cows in the front of the yard anymore because they all be dead. Think about it. Sheep, goats, wheat, things of that nature. Sacrifice. They had a religious ceremonial ritual, but they had nothing behind it. A sacrifice with no motive is a good thing. But a sacrifice with a good intent is a good thing. But if you don't believe me on this one, we're going to go over and we're going to check this one out. Verse 7. I have to take my notes. Turn to Hosea 6 and chapter 6 and 6. Are you there? Should be out to Daniel, I hope. If not, then y'all need to run. Chapter 6. Look at what it said. Look at what the Lord said. Look at what the Lord said. For I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offering. I want you to get to know me. Who I am, what I'm all about, what I can do for you. Is there anything impossible for God? Nothing. But with men? No. For I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of good more than burnt offering. More than burnt offering. Let's go to Micah 6 and 8. This is what Jesus is quoting. He's amazing. Never cease to amaze me. That should be a song. It might be one out there. And if I'm kind of slow. Are you there? You can say amen. All right. I didn't hear everybody. If you don't have a Bible, say amen anyway. Okay, Micah 6 and 8. And it reads as follows. He has shown thee, O man, that is... He has shown... I'm sorry. Uh-oh. Am I in the right place? Yes, I am. Okay. Okay. 6 and 8. He has... Hmm. 6 and 8. He has shown thee, O man, what is good, and what doeth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. That's what he wants us to do. That's all he's saying. And we're going to go to one more, and then we're going to leave off that. We're going to stop beating that horse. Matthew 12 and 7. Matthew 12 and 7. If you dare, say amen. If not, say wait. Matthew 12 and 7 reads as follows. But if ye had known what this meant, I would have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would not have condemned the guilty. I'm sorry, the guiltless. I'm sorry, the guiltless. I'm sorry. So do you understand what the Lord is looking for in verse 7? He's looking for mercy. For us to show mercy to those that are sinners, regardless, because he's showing it. Okay, let's move on to verse 7. And I already talked about that. Let's move on to verse 19. I'm sorry, verse 8. It reads as follows. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, half of my goods I have. Half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Blessed is the man. Turn to Psalms 41:41 and 1. And look what the Lord say about, or look what David wrote about a poor man. Are you there? Say amen. If not, wait. Psalms 41 and 1. It reads as follows. Blessed is he that considered the poor. The Lord will deliver him in times of trouble. Blessed is he that considered the poor. The Lord will deliver him in a time of trouble. So what is the Lord saying? If I give you something,
take care of my poor. And I will bless you. And I will deliver you in times of trouble. That is what he's saying there. Now, the rest of the scripture I will read, and I will go back. Zacchaeus said he gave to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Turn to Exodus 22 and 1. Turn to Exodus 22 and 1. When you dare say amen. If not, say wait. And it reads as follows. If someone steals an ox or a sheep and then kills or sells it, then the thief must pay back five oxen for each oxen stolen and four sheep for each sheep stolen. That was the law back in the day. How many people you think that steal today would pay you back 20% and an additional 20%? Or matter of fact, how many people would pay you back even what they owe you today? But that was the law. That was the law back in those days. They were supposed to pay back. And I'm not finished. Go to Numbers. Five and seven. And here's the kicker. The Lord has always given us a way out. Regardless of all his laws. I'm not preaching law or anything like that. But of all his laws, God has always given us a way out. God has always given us a way out. He has given us already a sacrifice. Okay, Numbers, are you there? If I start off wrong, let me know because I put these on my card. They must confess their sins and make full restitution for what they have done, adding an additional 20%. Adding an additional 20%. What is this scripture saying? What is he actually saying here? He is saying that, Lord, this is what I have done. And he said, if. He says, if. And that's the kicker. That's what got me. He said, if I have. So regardless, that is, he is confessing to the Lord Jesus Christ that, Lord, if I have sinned or if I have done anything wrong, I have followed the law of Moses. And then if you see on, Jesus is going to tell him, listen what Jesus said to him after what Zacchaeus says that. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. For as much as he also is a son of Abraham. He became a believer. He became a follower of Jesus Christ. Some say he became a bishop. Some say he became a bishop. What's a bishop? Your pastor? And when he said when Jesus said he was the son of Abraham, what does that mean? Yes, ma'am. Okay.
became the son of Abraham. Faith. Faith. And they all murmured because he was a sinner. And they didn't realize that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is their Messiah. And he has the power to forgive sin. So if you're having a problem beating yourself up on a daily basis, and I'm going to try to close with this, beating yourself up on a daily basis about your sins, of what you have done in the past, ladies and gentlemen, right here in writing, if you just confess them, turn them over to the Lord, turn them all over to the Lord. I don't care. If you can think back to what you did way, you know, back when you was a little child, when you took something from your mama, or you did something to your daddy, or you did something to your sibling or something like that, then the only thing you got to do is, and the key thing of it is if it's bothering you, that's the enemy trying to get you to do something, Only thing you have to do, whatever you're going through, like I said, drug addiction, child abuse, you're going through trial or anything like that, anything, just hand it to the Lord. But when it comes to repentance, you must confess. Confess it to him. Give it all to him and let it go. Let it go. Let it fly at the door, whatever, wherever it's going. And don't let the enemy seep in and tell you, no, you're wrong. Mm-mm. He is a forgiving God. He is a loving God. He is a God to be praised. He's all-knowing, all-powerful, all-living. He could be sitting, well, not could be, he is sitting next to you. Either on the right or the left-hand side. He is sitting next to you, just waiting. Come down. So confess it, turn it over to him, and let it go. And stop beating yourself up about it. Because you ain't going to get nowhere with the enemy. The enemy will tell you you're a sinner all day. We all know that we are sinners and we fall short of the glory of God. We all know that. He knows that too. He can quote scriptures just like we can. So what I'm trying to get you to see is, with Job went through something because God gave him up for a purpose. And we don't know why God. I still don't know why. I said, oh, Lord, don't send me through that. Whatever you do, keep your hedges around me. Every day. I don't want this monster after me, this lion. Walking to and fro, seeking who he can destroy. Uh-uh. No, don't let him on me. Please don't. I'm trying to get to know the Lord. The power of his resurrection, I want to know it. And the fellowship of his suffering, I want to know it. And in closing, the last scripture, which I have already broken it down, verse 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And for that one, let's turn to Matthew 18 and 11. 18 and 11. 18 and 11. Are you there? Amen. All right. Remember, I mentioned this earlier. The lost sheep. He's seeking you. If you're lost, he's seeking you. If you won't be found, he can find you. Only thing you got to say, Lord, I turn my life over to you. And he'll come in and have meat with you. He'll come and sit at your table. He'll talk to you. He'll talk in a way that no one has ever talked to you. He won't discourage you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He's there for you. And the only thing he's just saying, make haste, come down. We don't know the time, the place, the hour that we may leave here, that we may leave this world. That could be our eternal death, or it could be our eternal salvation. You never know. Once you are gone from this world, your book is closed. We're going to put a period on it. We're going to put a period in that spot. Okay, they're finished. Okay, they're gone. You're gone. But he's asking us now, while we have a chance, to let him help us. And he's telling us here, don't let anyone judge you, because I'm the judge of all. And I wrote a little note for my last closing. And if you allow me to read it, I would appreciate it very much. And then I'm going to have a seat. And in closing, salvation is not just a privilege to be enjoyed by a select few. Salvation is not a privilege to be enjoyed by a select few. But it is also to be shared with the lost. It is also to be shared with the lost, so that they may be saved as well. And that is the end of my teaching for tonight. Glory be to God.